You are listening to a programme from BBC Radio 4.
My name is Kieran McKnight and I'm the Youth and Children's Minister here at the church.
Kieran, I so far have not downloaded Pokemon. It's not yet part of my life. How does it work? Talk me through the game.
Basically, you're trying to level your character up. So the stronger the character is, the better Pokemon you're going to catch. And you want to catch Pokemon and evolve them to be stronger creatures so that you can beat other teams, basically. Many people played the Game Boy games about 20 years ago, so that's why there's so many people in their 20s who are playing.
I found two people who were intently concentrating before I interrupted on their Pokemon.
I'm Carrie.
Carrie, how old are you?
29.
And what about you?
27.
And what's your name?
Tom.
How does it work?
The church is a Pokestop, so if you spin it round, you will get something out of the church. So I've just got three Pokeballs. There's a lure on the church which means that Pokemon are attracted to the area, so when a Pokemon is in the area it tends to pop up on the screen. You tap on it and then you try and capture it with your Pokeball.
Would either of you usually be here on a Friday night at church?
Absolutely no chance.
Do you think you could see yourself building a connection with the church?
I think the leap of faith is very difficult for everybody. Even the most religious people struggle with their faith at times.
My name's Paul Kingman. I'm a minister in North Staffordshire. Came on the sort of wave of interest that was rising because of the game. Well, why not put something on just for fun and interact with the community?
Are you playing it yourself?
I confess that I am.
You are? Okay. So you've downloaded it. Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, it's quite good fun. I can see how you could get a bit carried away with it, but yeah, it's good fun.
Are there elements of the Bible in there or elements of Christianity?
You know, good and evil are sort of elements in it, and that's often the case with fantasy games. Building relationships and bridges with people, that's what's key to us. We want to present to them good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you don't know people, you can't do that.
I've just interrupted a game of pool and Pokemon Go. You've just won one.
Yes, I just got a Pidgey. It's level 56. It's not very good. My highest is 261. I'm Stuart Warman and I'm a 13-year-old.
Do you normally come to church?
No, I'm an atheist, but he does.
Yeah. Is religion something that you talk about much at 13 years old?
Occasionally we have a talk and a debate.
Yeah. Your experience this evening, is it what you expected church to be?
No, not really. I thought I would just be a priest, all that stuff, and I've just seen people in normal clothes, no cardinal wear. Oh, there's a Pokemon.
Leave them to it. Dr. Bex Lewis is a senior lecturer in digital marketing at Manchester Metropolitan University. Andrew Robertson runs the Family Gamer TV YouTube channel and is a freelance family technology expert. He's on the line from Exeter. Morning to you both.
Good morning.
Morning.
Dr. Lewis, that young man seemed pleasantly surprised not to find cardinals wafting about the place in church. What do you make of all this?
I'm quite excited by it. I mean, a week and a half ago, I'd never had anything to do with Pokemon either, but I have spent 5-6 years looking at sort of the way that church can engage with the world. And I think, as with anything else, we need to look at where people are and need to look for those opportunities to build relationships.
So you think that those young men and women who've gone there because of the game might actually eventually wind up going there for a church reason?
You never know. I mean, I don't think churches can think that this is kind of a magic bullet for evangelism.
No.
But I definitely think that, as that child thought, you know, I've talked to friends in the past who think that people go in the church, shut the door, have weird rituals and have two heads growing. And I think anything that kind of breaks down that kind of barrier is good.
Andrew Robertson, what do you make of this phenomenon?
I think there's no harm in it. It's quite nice, isn't it, for churches to engage in something because they already are in the game. I think there's maybe a challenge here to say how authentic is that engagement. And I think also there's an opportunity for churches to look at video games and the broader games on offer that may have a more authentic sort of connection to faith and spirituality.
What, you mean this one isn't particularly... Well, are any computer games spiritual? I mean, what have you got in mind? Staying with you, Andrew Robertson.
I think that is sort of the issue, that the wider breadth of video games are often sort of off the map and not on the radar, particularly of an older audience that you may have in a church. And there are particular games that I work with. There's a game in particular, That Dragon Cancer, which is actually created by a Christian couple whose child had terminal cancer, and it takes you through that journey with them, and their faith story is a big part of that, and that's something that we're going to be looking at a Christian festival, Greenbelt, later in the year.
I suppose, Dr. Lewis, one question is whether vicars are sort of up to the job of exploiting something like this. I mean, I'd be perfectly honest, I wouldn't know where to start with a game like this.
I think it's a lot of... I've been running a course called Social Media for the Scared for kind of the last 5 years. Some people think it's Social Media for the Sacred. But it's... and part of that has been encouraging people in churches not to be scared, to go out and have a go at this stuff. And almost, even if they don't get into whatever it is themselves, to provide a supportive atmosphere for those who are. So I think definitely we need a kind of sea change in people's thinking. And I think it definitely is there. 5 years ago, people, anything digital, were like, I don't understand why we need any of that. It's a waste of time. You know, paper Bibles are fine. And then a couple of years later, people were like, we understand that this is so big that we need to get engaged with it. We need to understand it. That people started asking questions about how you work it. And I think sermons should be including discussing kind of cultural phenomenon, how to engage with it, where the problems might be. And, you know, Andy was talking about a game that is a Christian game. And we've got to remember that all those Christian games are competing with the games that the rest of the world is playing.
And Robinson, I suppose it's worth remembering that it wasn't that long ago when churches routinely ran youth clubs, and that there was a very direct connection between the sort of place of the church in the community and young people.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're seeing, is a sort of an opportunity in recognising the popularity that Pokemon Go is bringing young people to literally the sort of the doorsteps of churches, that they can capitalise upon it. But I think it'd be nice to see that go a step further, and as Bex was saying, to have it as part of the actual act of worship. I think there's a possibility of including games.
Well, hang on. To take us through that, I suspect a lot of people listening to this will wonder quite where in the service a computer game's going to fit.
Well, I think in a similar way that you may use poetry or a piece of art as a sort of a devotional moment in a service, there are some games, and obviously you need to pick them carefully, that do fit that context. I've used a game in particular called Flower, which is on the PlayStation, and we had a service in Exeter Cathedral where that game was an integral element of that act of worship and continued, and as the congregation sort of shared and played it, it became a meaningful part of the service. And what struck me about that is it felt appropriate. I thought it was going to feel sort of novel or a bit sort of cute and clever, but actually it just felt completely natural for that particular game.
Dr. Lewis, you're nodding during that.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I used to work at Durham University for an organisation called Codec, and we were asked to run, they have a service every week for the vicars in training, and we were asked to run a digital service. And we spent a lot of time talking about whether all these sort of geeky things we could have done, all these kind of gamey things we could have done, and we said at the end of the day, this has to be a service that feels like it fits with the other services and is not a... something that's so out of...
Yeah, because there's surely a danger that, that to some people this looks like the sort of trendy vicar cliche gone absolutely potty.
Yeah, and I think that's where we've got to get people who are genuinely interested in this. So I remember looking on Facebook the other week and everyone was desperately looking up the story of the lost sheep to sort of tie it in with the Pokemon Go and seeking for the lost and all that kind of thing.
Well, do you think, finally, Andy Robinson, that you can actually make a computer game which has a Christian message but is as exciting as Pokemon Go evidently is to a lot of people?
I think probably the better challenge would be just to make a really good game, and that will reflect the person who makes it, like any piece of art. And so by being authentic about the games you're making, I think that you're much more likely to make a connection, and if you're a person of faith, then that's going to happen.
Thank you both very much indeed, Andrew Robinson and Bex Lewis. That's it for this week's Sunday.